your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and I'm here with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Last week, we had the pleasure to be with Pamela Miles. She's from New York City, and we got to talking about public practice, about treatments, and how they were for people, and whether, and that it doesn't matter what level of initiation that you have when you start giving treatments. The treatments are effective and can be very life-changing experiences. And at the end of our show, I realized that I hadn't even been able to ask one of my very essential questions for Pamela, which was, how would you describe Reiki? So I invited Pamela back on the show today, and that's the very first question I'm going to ask her, except that I'm going to say, hello, Pamela, how are you today?
Well, thank you, Phyllis, and very happy to be back. I'm glad that we're continuing this conversation.
Yes, me too. So I'm going to let people listen to the archived show from last time to find out your background and so on. So I'd like to just plunge right in to this question, because Pamela and I have talked about this before, if you sense that in our conversation. And we had a little bit of a time frame, so I didn't get to really talk to her as long as I'd like. So, Pamela, tell me, how would you describe the energy of Reiki?
Okay, well, I would just like to give a very short summary of my background.
No problem.
Just to say that I started studying meditation and yoga when I was a kid. So literally, by the time I first experienced Reiki in 1986, I'd already been involved with spiritual practices for 20 years. And so what I'm going to say comes out of that background that I had when I first experienced Reiki. And I think that is the main difference why I speak about Reiki in such a different way than it is commonly spoken about. And that starts with the fact that I avoid the word energy at all costs.
So tell me about that.
Well, I have a couple of reasons for it. One is that I, as you know, collaborate a lot in medical environments. So I'm working with, communicating with scientists a lot. And to a scientist, and not as much a medical scientist, but definitely a physical scientist, the word energy is very specific. And it doesn't mean what most people mean when they refer to Reiki energy or use, you know, a term like subtle energy. So that's the first thing, is that I'm always choosing my words carefully to be as precise as possible and as neutral as possible, and looking to see how I can create common ground with a scientific perspective. Because my years of spiritual training have taught me how valuable it is to use the intellect to distill my understanding based on my experiences. So, energy is not a very precise word, and that may work for a lot of people. I mean, when you take it out of the scientific context, it's not a very precise word, and I'm always looking to be precise, as precise as possible. Even if I'm saying precisely, I don't know that. You know, this is where our knowledge stops. So in the complementary healthcare community, energy is commonly used to refer to chi, the subtle bioenergy that's manipulated with acupuncture or shiatsu or medical qigong like that. And this is a subtle reality. It's an unmanifest reality. It's not a physical reality, but it's very thick. It's very viscous compared to Reiki. It's almost physical. It's just sub-physical. And Reiki, to my experience, is much more subtle than that. Although I do agree that the chi can be reorganized and the prana can be reorganized as a response to a Reiki treatment, in my experience and understanding, Reiki is something much more subtle than those already subtle realities. And by the way, chi and prana are not the same thing. And ki, K-I, the Japanese version of chi, is not the same thing as Reiki. Any more than when we say thing and something, we're saying the same thing. You know, thing is different than something. So, are you with me?
Well, I think so. Okay. I'll let you know if I've... I mean, I'm coming to your question, but I'm listening.
All right. So when I contemplate my experience of Reiki and the first experience I had, what I felt were cascades of pulsations and vibration. And in fact, okay. when I read some of the things that your grandmother has said, she does speak of vibration. So
yeah.
I like that because I try to check in with her in any way that is available to me, which of course is not nearly the ways that you got to check in with her, but I think it's important. And so I liked seeing that word vibration. And then as I spoke to scientists and particularly the superstring theorist Brian Greene, who is a world-renowned physicist, very well-respected academic. And I asked him point blank, you know, about vibration, because it seemed to me that vibration is a place where spirituality, and I put Reiki in that category, and science really can meet. That's something they share. And so I asked Brian, is it accurate to say that physics tells us that the underpinning of reality as we know it is vibration? And he, you know, practically said, duh. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what physics says. In other words, that's not a stretch. If I say that to a physicist, they're not going to say, oh, you're misusing the word.
Uh-huh.
Because when I speak to physicians, for example, you know, I have to be very careful of using words that have a connotation in their
uh-huh.
context, because I lose them, and then they get into criticizing what I'm saying because it's not accurate in their context.
Uh-huh.
So I like to use the word vibration or pulsation because it's descriptive, and also
uh-huh.
because I don't want to evoke ideas of energy as chi. You know, when your grandmother brought Reiki from the Japanese culture, where it made a lot of sense, to the European-based culture via Hawaii, America, where we didn't have the cultural supports for Reiki. And it survived and thrived because it is a living lineage, because the experience is there in the hand of a Reiki practitioner. Whether that practitioner understands what's happening or not. You know, so Reiki is very forgiving. We can call it whatever we want. And as long as we have the initiations and we practice, you know, Reiki is going to happen for us. What I had already experienced when I first felt Reiki was a larger context than this context of prana and chi. Prana is more subtle than chi, but it's still not as subtle as Reiki. So I can feel when my prana is reorganizing. I can feel when my chi is moving in meridians. But it's different than the experience of Reiki. To me, Reiki is another word for the largest context, what physicists refer to as the unified field, what I often call primordial consciousness. It is the ground of being that is everywhere, is not violable. You know, it cannot be altered, it cannot end, it cannot change. It's the witness of all that is, and that this unmanifest ground of being, because it has to be unmanifest to be everywhere. As soon as it manifests, then it's here and not there. But that unmanifest ground of being gives rise to all that is. By the time we get to the level of even prana, which is very subtle, we're already in a dual reality. Reiki would be the non-dual ground of being, and that's why I understand it to be so restorative, so balancing, so refreshing, because we're touching that part of us that doesn't die, that isn't hurt, that isn't crying, you know, and that isn't hysterically happy either, that is
right.
Balanced.
Well, yeah, can I just
please
insert
do.
Something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. I want the listeners to know that it's, Pamela and I have had this part of the conversation before, and it's much better when you listen to it the second time. So know that this program is archived, and you can listen to it a lot. Because what I'm trying to get is that in my understanding, or just the way that I accepted it into my reality without scientists and without meditation and so on, I just got that Reiki was not a specific energy, but like the whole energy. There is our music. So I'm just going to say a few more words. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Pamela this question about, or tell her my feeling about what Reiki is and see if they're compatible at all. I'm Phyllis Fermoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and the guest today is Pamela Miles, and we'll be back with more discussion about what is Reiki, energy or vibration or question mark, question mark, question mark. Okay, we'll go to our station now.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speaks Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speaks Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto, and I'm back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today we're kind of, I don't know if we're talking about form or essence, which may be another good question for Pamela. But right now we're going back to our individual descriptions of Reiki and seeing if we can kind of, I don't know if agree is quite the right word, but certainly connect with our own ideas of Reiki. So as I was saying before the break, when I listened to my grandmother and what I got out of my own background, which was pretty innocent as far as, and naive, as far as energy work or meditation or working even in the medical field, I have this idea that Reiki includes all energies. And so for me, it's kind of an all-inclusive kind of entity, much like a rainbow includes all the colors, and that we can pick out these different strands of color that might be, I mean, in naivety, one might be chi and one might be prana and one might be ki, although I always thought they were pretty much the same. And Pamela has a much more educated sort of viewpoint. So I'm interested to know, Pamela, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you're on the right track.
Isn't that a relief? Yeah. I just want you to know this is a very vulnerable moment for me.
Good. I'm glad I injected some levity into it.
Okay, now be honest.
I am being honest.
Oh, good.
And what I would say is to take your metaphor a little further, is that rather than say that Reiki is the whole rainbow, Reiki is the context in which the rainbow exists. Because the rainbow exists in a dual environment, like form and essence, okay, those are dualities. Traditionalist and populist, another duality. Energy and matter, E equals MC squared, it's still a duality. What is the overarching context that is extraordinarily subtle in which these dualities resolve? That's something worth finding. Because that is the source of creation.
Yes.
And I think that the reason why Reiki brings such profound changes in people's understanding, which does not necessarily occur with a good healing or even a cure, you know, where you see people transformed. And I was reading the reports from we have a Reiki and cancer program through my nonprofit organization, and a woman said this was a woman who was having her first Reiki treatment while she was getting chemo.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, yeah, she said afterwards that she was kind of drifting in and out, and as she was doing that, she said she kept having insights into her life, and things would just open up. Like, she would notice anger that she had at somebody and see how the situation was just fine. You know, she saw it in a whole other way that then released the anger, but it wasn't like pretending that the anger wasn't there or suppressing it or even saying that the person was right and she was wrong. It was not anything dual. It was a context in which it could all be contained.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a research study. There's a team of researchers, Wardell and Engbertson, who did some research on Reiki, and they published mostly the physiological responses, but then they published another paper in which they included comments that people made in interviews after their Reiki experience. And this was a half hour of Reiki. I think they only used two placements for the hands, and they were doing things like drawing blood and you know, with a blood pressure cuff on and all this of medical stuff during the Reiki treatment, which happened in a hospital setting. I mean, it was nothing like when you or I are giving a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of that, I think there were 23 participants who were all Reiki naive, had experiences. I mean, they had physiological responses in the direction of relaxation, which was a good thing to document, but they also had experiences along the lines of the one I just shared, where they would experience opposites, like they would feel safe and anxious at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Anxious because it was a new situation, because they didn't know the Reiki practitioner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They would feel heavy and weightless at the same time. And what was particularly interesting to me was that they were still describing it in that kind of really holistic way afterwards. Instead of arguing with themselves, like, well, I must have been feeling this, because I couldn't have been feeling that at the same time. You know, it put them into a very holistic perspective. And I think that is the essence of healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's totally fascinating, and I want to let you know that I get it.
I didn't doubt it for a minute. You know,
well,
I mean, I
didn't get it before when we talked, but I really get it now. And what's fascinating for me is that one of the very first lessons that I learned, or that came to me, I don't know, through a number of incidences when I was beginning to teach and treat people with Reiki in the early 1980s, is that I realized that there was no right and wrong. And I couldn't talk about negative and positive energy, negative and positive experiences, good or bad conditions. I mean, what I could describe for myself are things like, well, I don't like that, and I do like this, which, of course, are very subjective. But it was interesting for me to just have my perspective of the world turn around so that things were not in polarity anymore, and not in the sense of the natural polarity of things like in magnets, but that there wasn't a judgmental polarity or a emotional polarity that I would get into and then just say, well, I don't like that person and I'm never going to see, you know, or have anything to do with them. Because the minute they laid down and I put my hands on them and I would, you know, go for the first few minutes of going, well, I don't know why I'm doing this with this person because I think they're really strange or they're kind of weird and I don't know whether I like them. All of that disappeared. And then I had this experience of oneness where that disappeared and all separation disappeared and I realized that we were one. And this was an amazing experience for me. And if this is what you're saying, this is your description is why this happened, I'm in.
I think, you know, you just described it on a practical level beautifully. And I've often thought, you know, I love all my clients. The moment or soon after the moment I put my hands for treatment, I fall in love with my client. I may not like them very much. You know, there are definitely some people with whom we have an easier rapport.
Yeah.
But even that exists within this larger context of value, you know, and it's not tolerance, because tolerance implies negativity, that we're mm-hmm. tolerating somebody. It's more a genuine, heartfelt sense that your perspective matters. You know, I don't understand it. I really hardly relate to it. But you exist and I exist, and we're equally important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so this is, you use this term non-dual ground of being. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I did use that term.
Yeah, so can you sort of go on kind of talking about this? I love this phrase, and now I'm loving it even more because I might actually understand it. So non-dual ground of being. Tell me a bit more about that.
Again, I often refer to it as primordial consciousness. And I wonder if it's what Mrs. Takata was referring to when she said God power.
Mm.
And I experience this as a quiescent reality, but also I experience that quiescence moving into manifest. And there, so it's beginning to think about maybe I'll create the world, you know. And it's very subtle, but to me, that is the first pulsation of Reiki. So there's Reiki the state, which is the non-dual ground of being, and Reiki in an operative level, which is
uh-huh.
the pulsation.
Operative level. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, well, I can't believe it. It's time for another station break. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Pamela Miles. And we're talking about Reiki. What is it? Where does it come from? And where does it reside? And I'm saying this is the program Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And we'll be back very shortly after this station break.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ogluck, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Get ready to embark on a 13-week journey to discover how you can maintain a positive philosophy in your life to bring out your true potential in all areas of your life. Begin today, and host Mark Johnson will help you make it available for tomorrow. Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto, and this is Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Pamela Miles as our guest today, and we've been talking about Reiki, and what is it, vibration, energy, how to describe it, more like it, how to articulate it. And she's given me great lessons, and also introducing some phrases and words that I just love, and also because some of you listeners out there, English is not your first language, I'm going to go back and see if we can get Pamela to just define in smaller words a couple of these phrases and words. For instance, the first one is quiescence. What a lovely word. Pamela, give us a little bit of a simple definition for this word.
Quiescent just means inactive or active.
Means what?
Inactive, not active.
Inactive.
Dormant, uh-huh. At uh-huh. rest.
Uh-huh.
So it would be, you know, the source of the pulsations, that they arise from this quiet state.
Mm-hmm. So I have this, and the other phrase was primordial consciousness, which always for me evokes this image of the earth. And the earth is like, well, I just see it as a neutral void, well, not even void, kind of a neutral space without green, without blue, it's just gray, and somehow it's, you know, if I close my eyes, I just see this sphere kind of whirling in space, and there is, in the core of the sphere, some kind of movement, and for me, if when I talk about Reiki, I talk about it being the moment before anything moves, before anything changes, and before. And I'm wondering if this is a little bit on the order of what you mean by primordial consciousness.
Yeah, I think it's exactly. And I love that, the way you described it, the moment before. I love the visual, too, but, you know, I'm into words.
Well, obviously.
And the power of words, you know, in yoga, right. There's something called Matrika Shakti, and it's literally the power of words, the power uh-huh. of sound, the power of vibration. So it's not just what we say, but also what it means to us, you know, the place uh-huh. that it comes from. So this moment before anything changes, yeah, I would say that that is the primordial state, the unified field, you know, primordial meaning primal, the prime source. Uh-huh. And primordial consciousness, I put the word consciousness in there so that people realize even though it is inactive or quiescent, it's still vibrant.
Vibrant, yeah.
You know, and again, this is an experience where spirituality and And physics tell us the same thing, that you get to a place of emptiness and what you have is the fullness of potential. There is no such thing as emptiness.
Right.
You know, so this place where the dualities dissolve.
Great. And so before the break, you were talking, you started to make this list, which I was extremely interested in, Reiki the stage and Reiki the operative level, which is before manifestation.
Yeah, it's but moving, beginning to move in that direction, the first hint. Like if Reiki the state is the moment before, then this would be the moment a nanosecond after the before.
Nanosecond after the moment before. Okay. And then do we have another the next? Number one, number two, do we have a number three?
No, you know, it's not a hierarchy like that. It's just that we use the word Reiki to mean so many things.
Right.
Often we say Reiki and we mean Reiki treatment, for example.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so in this sense, there's Reiki, the Reiki state, and Reiki the pulsations, you know, that we start to experience, and that's just how I would differentiate between the two of them, because, you know, when I give treatment, and I, like everyone else, has spoken of Reiki in terms of flow, and it goes where it's needed and like that, but honestly, the more I practice and the more I contemplate, the more careful I am about saying things like that. I don't really think anything is going anywhere. My experience is more and more that my hands are like tuning forks that spontaneously tune to the vibration of the recipient's well-being. So if I'm giving treatment to my son, and I think every Reiki practitioner has experienced this, that our hands feel different. They feel different on different people, or they feel different on the same person on different placements, or even if we leave them long enough in one placement, the experience in our hands will change.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what I mean by the Reiki hands spontaneously tuning themselves to the vibration of that person's wellness right at that moment. And so rather than something coming through me, what's happening is that we're both being reminded of this pulsation of wellness, and that creates kind of a foreground-background shift. So instead of focusing on our separation and our pain and our anxiety, we're then focusing on our wellness. And
right.
So that's why I've never liked to use the word attunements, which I know is quite popular. I mean, I prefer initiation, or empowerment is a word that's used in Tibetan Buddhism a lot, and that fits for me. But attunement I never understood, because we are already Reiki. So we don't have to be attuned to Reiki.
Right. I totally agree with you. I like the word initiation because for me it's the beginning of a new state of being. Any initiation, whether it's an initiation into adulthood or initiation into the priesthood or initiation into, well, there's lots of initiations, and especially, of course, in our ancient world, there were initiations that marked the space between different life realities, I would say, or different stages of our being human. And I totally feel that these initiations, that's what I'm doing with, you know, as a master, when I initiate, I am also entering into that initiation with my student. So
I agree.
I just feel like it's an amazing place, and I like naming it because I feel like it gives it sort of it leads my mind into the right place, if I may say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I much prefer that word. And
so if we go back a couple of steps, though, before we get into this discussion on initiation and where this fits, the minute that you were talking about this Reiki, the nanosecond after the moment, after the moment before, then I realized that potential is a really big thing. And one of the things that I have had to deal with myself is that once I got into Reiki, I could see the potential of every situation, whether it felt painful or not. I could see that, you know, in another day or two, maybe this pain would actually feel like healing, and it would portend healing, so that I didn't get caught up in what was really happening at the moment, in the sense of this is going to be my reality for the next 100 years, but that I got to have this door open to a kind of potential of different things that occurred in my life and different things that seemed to, should I say, happen to me. So sometime, and in very early days, then I got lost in potential. It's like I couldn't see where I was, you know, today in the present moment, because I was so living in potential, if you know, understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-husband and I got into some really doozies. And one day he just said, "You can't see who I am now because you only see my potential." And it was really true. And that was a huge disservice to him. So was very fascinated by what you said about potential.
Yeah, it's how healing can happen.
By going into the potential?
By going into the state before the potential and letting the potential unfold from there, from being tuned to itself, from being aligned is another word that I think is helpful. Because, you know, when we take action from a place where most of us is hanging out somewhere other than where our body is, and in the present moment, those actions don't usually have very good results. But if we align, then we can take actions that are wise and practical.
Great. Well, those are wonderful words to end this segment, Pamela. Thank you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I am here with Pamela Miles. We're going to wrap up the session right after this next station break.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the 7th Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everyone, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that?
It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We have today with us Pamela Miles, and it's been a very stimulating conversation. And we were going to be live today, but we're not. And so this is going to air in a week from now. And you can't call in because we're not live, but you can write an email question to usuireiki@mac.com, and you can find this also on my banner. And if you write in questions for Pamela and I can email them to her and we can answer these questions in a few weeks' time when I come back on live again. So please do enter into a long-term conversation here, because once, of course, we get in tune with Reiki, somehow it sort of permeates our whole life, and a few weeks of conversation about it is only a very drop in the bucket, as far as I'm concerned. In our last segment with Pamela, there was a little piece that came up about the word attunement, and Pamela said that she asked the question, how can we be attuned to something we already are? And I wanted to share with Pamela a story. My grandmother, Hawaiio Takata, who was my master, used to, in her way of explaining what the initiations were, used to say to people, well, you know, it's like you have a cosmic radio inside of you, and when you are initiated, this radio has an automatic tuning that locks into this channel or energy or vibration called Reiki. And I don't know if this is where the word attunement came from, but I've always called it an initiation. And afterwards, a few years afterwards, I kept thinking about this description of the initiation and realizing that it didn't fit my experience, that I realized that I could not give another human being something that they did not already have, including the connection to this energy of Reiki. So what I talk about in the initiations is that it's a remembering with a big R, that we have it. A lot of us are sometimes unconsciously or very lightly consciously aware of this connection, but when we are initiated, this stimulates ancient, if we will, primordial remembering that we go, oh, yes, and this feels like coming home, which is a very common phrase for people to use after their initiation. Is this your experience, Pamela?
Absolutely. I mean, the phrase coming home, people experience in after treatment and initiation. And
right.
I often use the phrase remembered wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And the initiation, you know, it is like that. It is an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
But we awaken to more of who we are.
Right.
Like when the Buddha was asked, you know, what are you? He said simply, I am awake.
Great. Beautiful. Well, it's our last segment, Pamela, and I would like to invite you on the show some other time in a few months. But now I think we're going to need to wrap this piece up, and I'm very excited about what I've learned tonight and new language. I'm just wondering if it's okay for you if I use a bit of it.
Of
and
course.
Some of my some of my lectures and conversations. And Pamela has written a book, and I'm just wondering, Pamela, whatever what inspired you to write besides your love of words, perhaps?
Well, you know, the lack of a comprehensive book that spoke in straightforward, credible language that anyone could pick up. I always write with my inner doctor and the attorney reading over my shoulder, you know, imagining what will these words feel like to someone who doesn't have the support of the experience and understanding and perspective that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So in wanting to write for the largest audience, you know, it was a great discipline of paring down to keep the book human.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted people to be able to read it and feel Reiki and feel the humanity of Reiki and keep it simple because life is complicated, especially life in New York City, but I'm sure that's true elsewhere. Life is complicated and Reiki is simple. And, you know, I was just responding to what I saw as a void in the literature. That no one who has a traditional, conservative, rigorous approach to Reiki had written anything for a mainstream market. In fact, no one had written anything about Reiki for a mainstream market. This was the first book that was published by, and the only book to this day, that was published by a mainstream publisher.
Great. And the name of the book is?
It's Reiki, A Comprehensive Guide. And what I tried to do was to address all the questions that someone who didn't know anything about Reiki would have to help them have a sense of what might be available to them through this practice, to help them be aware of the tremendous diversity that's out there so that they could find a practitioner that resonated with them, to give them a sense of what to expect in a credible training format for first degree, second degree, and Reiki mastership. And then there are a number of chapters where I speak about how Reiki is being used in medicine, both from the many physicians that I've trained and other and programs that I've created and other people that I've met doing the work. There's a chapter on Reiki and family life talking about ways in which Reiki is being used at every stage of life from, you know, for infertility through end-of-life care.
Right.
And a chapter that speaks about Reiki research in a way that may not be so interesting to other people, but at least it gives the basics.
Right. And people can buy this in the bookstore? Or
they can buy it in the bookstore.
Amazon.com.
Or they can go to my website, which is ReikiInMedicine.org, or Google me to get to my website. And there you can read the introduction and the first chapter and see, you know, if this is of interest. And if it is, click through to Amazon and order it there. I also want to say, Phyllis, that there are medical papers and popular articles available on my website for anyone to download.
Right.
So this can be of help in many situations.
Thank you, Pamela Miles.
No, thank you, Phyllis.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're finished for today, and we'll be back next week with another exciting interview.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.